And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi, are you with me?
How are you, Ilan? Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah to you too. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. You know what? I felt like you really got me now in the mood in the morning with this, with all the brachot and the Maal Stern.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
That's John Pierce. You know John Pierce?
Sure.
Oh, he's amazing.
Beautiful. And with the snow outside, we're going to have a white Hanukkah.
That's good. That's beautiful. So we will start with the parasha, and then we will talk about Hanukkah?
I was thinking we could go and we can talk, you know, there's so many things to talk about Hanukkah, like what happened to Hanukkah.
Let's go straight to the last case.
Yeah, last case, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, most people know what really happened in Hanukkah. But I thought maybe we'd just talk literally briefly for the main fundamental outlines of what Hanukkah happened, you know, the customs that we do, and a certain question, you know, which a lot of people have bothering themselves, and we'll explain on that. This is a very, very interesting topic. But Hanukkah is, you know, obviously the eighth day of the Festival of Lights, which starts every year on the 25th day of Kislev, whether it be the first day in December, whether it be the last day in December, that doesn't make a difference.
It's according to the Hebrew.
Exactly. So it's the 25th day, the 25th day doesn't change on anything. And what do? We celebrate, you know, the triumph of light over darkness, of purity over adulteration, of spirituality over materiality. And, you know, more than 21 centuries ago, the Holy Land was ruled by Syrian Greeks, which they wanted to basically Hellenize the people of Israel to become... They didn't want to kill the Jewish people. You know, there's a difference between Hanukkah and you know, a lot of the holidays that, you know, the enemy, their one specific goal was to annihilate, to kill the Jews.
Yeah,
the Syrians didn't want to kill the Jews. They wanted to be able to convert your ideology, convert your who you believe in, to become a Greek, to become part. That's why when they set up, you know, gymnasiums, and they set up places where you can study, where you can learn. They wanted to transform your neshama, your soul. They wanted you to live. They had no problem with you living. You wanted to live and become part of a Greek. So there was their, you know, they wanted to gain by doing all that. And obviously against all odds, a small band of faithful Jews, the Maccabees, drove the Greeks from the land and reclaimed the Holy Temple, which they had defiled, annihilated. They put the, you know, pigs, they smashed all the oil, and they smashed everything that was holy in the temple, because they knew what was the importance.
Yeah.
And the uniqueness is okay, so who cares if they broke all the oil? We go and we take oil and we relight the menorah. What's the big deal? But they weren't stupid. They knew exactly what they were doing. They went in there, you know, fully knowledgeable of how to and what to take care of. And they went and they specifically went and smashed all the jugs of oil. Why the oil? Because when the oil was squeezed out, it was squeezed out obviously by the high priest, by the Kohen Gadol, by the Kohen, by the priest.
Yeah.
And that was then put into jugs, and from the jugs they were sealed with the Kohen Gadol's special seal. Now if that was touched, if that was broken, then it would render impure, they wouldn't be able to use it for the menorah. Therefore they knew that, and they went and smashed all of them. Luckily they found, luckily they left one, and with that one we were able to light the menorah. And therefore, you know, to show the miracle, to show how all of it played out and how important the Hanukkah menorah is, we do publicizing the menorah nightly, one time very next, you know, when we're doing the menorah, the menorah made out of food cans. Now the Hanukkah custom is also includes, we eat a lot of fatty food, you know, food that are fried in oil.
That is oily, yeah.
That is oily, commemorating what happened, the miracle of the oil, you know. That's why we eat latkes, the potato patty, the sufganiyot, the donuts. We play dreidel. Why do we play dreidel? Dreidel is played because when the Jews went into hiding, some of them, when the Greeks were coming around, you know, roaming the streets, and they went into hiding in order to be able to save themselves. And they would learn Torah, they would learn the Chumash, they would learn Judaism with the kids in cheder, in school. But what would happen when the Greeks would come in? They had people that watchtowers, and when they saw Greeks coming, they would give the signal, and away the books went, and out came the dreidel.
Yeah.
And when the Greeks came in, they said, what are you talking about? We're not learning Torah, or you must be mad. We're scared. We don't want to do that. We're playing the dreidel. And after all the times is why we pray the day. And you know, it has the four letters on it. It has Nes Gadol Haya Shom.
That's here in the diaspora. In Israel,
exactly.
It's Nes Gadol Haya Po.
Exactly.
Which means
so,
here.
Exactly. So instead of the shin, they would have the pay.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then it's a time of Hanukkah go, giving gifts, giving money, whether it be real money, whether it be the chocolate gelf money,
yeah.
You know, to the children. And the reason why people give money to their kids is to be able to also teach them how they should also give, how they should give charity. You know, I know a lot of people, I know what I do when we give Hanukkah gelf to my kids is we give them, let's say, $2-3, whatever it may be, and say, well, how about you go and give $1 to the doctor? How about you give $1 to charity or something like that? So you're not only giving them, but they should say, okay, now let me go and buy, you know, a Hannah Montana or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But more of the fact is that they also learn how to give. So, and, you know, obviously, you know, we say special bunch of different prayers. But one of the interesting things is that certain facts of the Hanukkah menorah, of the Hanukkah story that happened, I all take it for granted. And at times, there's questions that arise in regarding the logic behind the concept, which we accept simply as just face value. For example, and that's what I started talking about, is, you know, Hanukkah is 8 days long, because we know the story, which the oil burns
for eight days,
right?
Days.
We should have naturally have fueled the menorah for only one day. Was that one small jug of oil, and miraculously it lasted for 8. Now everyone knows that since they've gone to Hebrew school and they've gone to regular school, or their parents taught them, whatever it may be, their rabbi, that you know they had the one jug of oil, it lasted for 8 days. But it doesn't really make sense, because if there was sufficient oil to burn for one day, then the miracle lasted only for 7 days. So why do we celebrate the first day if nothing miraculously occurred there? Because look, what happened? They had one jug of oil, right?
Yeah.
And that one jug of oil was enough to last for a day.
So one day is not a miracle. What about the other 7?
Exactly. The one day is not a miracle. So the other 7 days you can say, okay, it's a miracle. Okay, so why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? You should only celebrate Hanukkah for 7 days.
That's
the 7 days of the miracle.
Yeah. So why?
So we're gonna try and figure it out. And, you know, this question obviously is not my own question. It's been bothering a lot of Jewish scholars, and many of them have written in books, and many of them have come up, you know, with the small little suggested answers. And most of the answers demonstrate how there's also indeed some sort of miracle on the first day of Hanukkah. And I guess we can try and figure out what would it be that is so amazing that the first day of Hanukkah is also a miracle, where to the naked eye would be like, come on, that's right there. God didn't have to do any miracle.
Rabbi, can we hear the station ID and then come back?
Sure, I'll just charge you.
Okay, it will be 1 minute.
That's no problem.
Okay. Back to Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi, are you with me?
I sure am.
Okay.
And,
so back to the miracles.
Right. So just to recap on our question, the question is really is why do we celebrate Hanukkah of 8 days? It should really be 7 days if the first day wasn't necessarily a miracle, because we had the oil. It was right there. Big deal. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
However, perhaps we can say that it's unnecessary to establish the occurrence of any miracle on the first day of Hanukkah in order to justify, if you want to say, the inclusion in the holiday. But perhaps we're celebrating not the fact of how long it lasted, but the oil itself, which very naturally fueled the menorah of the day. And therefore, the fact that we're saying that we found oil, we had oil after everything that possibly could have gone wrong, and everything was destroyed, maybe this is just a suggestion that I, which we'll try and I brought down, I'm going to bring down a story soon, but it could be just a suggestion to say that we're not necessarily celebrating the fact that we have 8 days of Hanukkah, or that with the oil lasted for one day and the last birthday, that's a miracle. Maybe we should say that we're celebrating the oil itself, which was naturally fueled to light the menorah. And it's interesting because an episode is recounted in the Talmud, which I think will illuminate and try to help us understand this concept. It's an interesting story that there was the great sage Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was renowned miracle worker. Everyone came to his asking for miracles. And shortly after sunset on one Friday evening, he noticed that his daughter was sobbing. She was crying. And he asked, upon asking her the reason for why she was so upset and so distressed, she explained that she had mistakenly lit in the Shabbos candle with vinegar instead of oil. Which didn't light in most periods of time. They didn't really have candles. They used oil, but she made a mistake and used vinegar.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Hanina comforted her and said, listen, do not be troubled, my dear. The one who commanded the oil to burn will command vinegar to burn. Okay, needless to say, the candles do not go out. And in fact, they burn until the following night when they have Havdalah candle where we say to separate the Shabbat. And the weekday, when we make the Havdalah service, they kindled the Havdalah candle from that flame. Now, in the eyes of this holy sage, vinegar burning, if you think about it, was no more of a spectacular event than oil burning.
Yeah.
And this story, and that's why when I was reading it, I thought about it, and I said, this story is really so striking and is unique. Why? Because Rabbi Hanina didn't respond to his daughter saying, hey, you want to see a miracle? You want to see an amazing thing that's happening? I can make the oil. I'll make, I'm sorry, the vinegar.
Yeah, the vinegar burn.
But he didn't say, hey, watch this miracle. Rather, in the eyes of the holy sage, vinegar burning was no more of a spectacular than oil burning. It wasn't a big deal. What's the difference? And therefore, he didn't make a big deal out of it. He said, you know, look, Hashem's going to help us. And the only difference between the two is how frequently they occur. How often do we see vinegar burning? Barely any time, but we see the oil burning a lot of times. And also, Rabbi Hanina didn't emphasize on the miracle, because if you go and look, what's the definition of a miracle? The definition of a miracle is that a godly intervention in a personal or national affairs, then every phenomenon is miraculous. Because why? Because everything that occurs is a direct result of God's command. So we should really say that everything in the world is a miracle. Happens by God. Because everything that happens in the world, if we like it or not, comes from God. And it's brought down that the guardian of Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. And his watchful eye can usually express itself in natural means. Because if it would express itself in spirituality, first of all, we wouldn't see anything, we wouldn't understand anything, and we wouldn't be able to even internalize it part of ourselves. So any miracle that God does, he does it in a way that naturally we can see it, naturally we can try to sort of comprehend what is going on. And nature is merely the curtain which conceals the grand puppeteer from outside.
Yeah.
In other words, nature, in order for us to be able to understand something and to understand God, we have to be able to understand it in a natural nature way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to understand it.
Yeah, and
No, go ahead.
Yamshir Kavodo. Please go on. I will ask you later.
Right, no, for sure. And therefore, you have the same thing when we were given the Torah. God gave us the first commandment. We couldn't handle it. We couldn't see that spirituality. It had to come down through a natural way, through Moses. But we were still, everyone was able to see that miracle of God. So the nature is really a curtain covering over God. But nevertheless, obviously we treasure miracles, and holidays are instituted, to commemorate more the more, you know, ones that are more concealed, more that we don't really understand, we don't really see that miracle. And we cherish those precious moments in history when Hashem chose this supernatural means to come to our rescue.
Yeah.
When the curtain was ripped away, leaving the puppeteer exposed, what happened? He had, by Hanukkah, the Jews literally went and beat the Syrian Greeks, took care of them. Once they were taken care of, there wasn't that curtain anymore of the Greeks. There wasn't that curtain of the curtain of Antiochus, and therefore we were able to continue doing what we were doing. We were able to see godliness. We were able to continue the Beis HaMikdash. We were able to continue spirituality, lighting the menorah, and therefore we were able to do what God wanted us to do. But we were restricted because there was that curtain by the Greeks.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Hanina, in our story, had the ability to see through the curtain every day. But we don't. Obviously, he was a tzaddik, he was a holy person.
Yeah.
And so to us, vinegar burning is a remarkable sight. It's a, wow, what a miracle for us to burn vinegar. But for him, there was no difference if there was vinegar burning or if there was oil burning. Because he was in touch of that level. And so once the curtain has been temporarily lifted, the recognition that there is a puppeteer doesn't fade even after the curtain is restored. Why? Because after witnessing vinegar burning, we can realize that oil's ability to burn is also a result of God's commandment, of God's show of power, that regardless of what happens, God can make this burn or God can make this burn. It's up to us to be able to say, can we see that miracle? Are we too blinded by nature to say that, no, it's impossible for this to happen?
Yeah.
Sometimes miracles are the things of the impossible.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention that miracle with the snare, that is another firework of
right.
God, that the snare that didn't stop burning.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look at it, it's actually incredible, is that when Moses came to the top of the mountain, and they had that burning bush.
Exactly.
And God and Moses wanted to come, and God said,
Shall
take off your shoes, because this place is a holy place. Now, it was the uniqueness was that bush was not engulfed in flames, that in minutes it wasn't there anymore.
Exactly, yeah.
It was engulfed in flames, but nothing would happen to it.
Burning, yeah.
Exactly, so that was the miracle. So sometimes miracles, we need miracles to be able to help us remember the stories of Hanukkah, something that might not be so obvious, might not be so unique, but everything that happens, it's not obvious that vinegar is going to burn, but God can make that miracle, the same with oil. So the miracle itself is in its first day. The fact that oil, we're celebrating the fact that the oil we're able to find and burn, we're not looking, it's just a different angle at looking at the miracle. It's not looking at, okay, it lasted for 8 days. We're looking at the fact that now we have oil, now we have the miracle, we can light the menorah.
That's a very interesting and nice story.
Yeah, so it takes, I think, a different angle to what most people are looking at and saying, custom as, okay, you know, we light the menorah, it lasted for 8 days, it's a beautiful story. So that's one of the insights you can learn of Hanukkah. And, I think the gym is going to make a lot of money off people, you know, eating so much lattes and donuts. They need to work it off a little bit later on, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And the event on the mall on Monday.
Yes. Today, actually, right when I finished with when I hang up the phone, I got to head to go and pick up. We're going to pick up about 1,400 to 1,500 food cans.
Wow.
That are going to be taken now today to the mall.
So you see, you start the workout before eating the latkes. That's
exactly,
good.
Exactly. You've got to try and prevent the unwanted, you know. But so we have about 1,500 cans.
And, wow, that's great. And people, I know that people are still bringing. I brought on last weekend, but
yes.
But please bring your cans.
People are bringing, even if you didn't get a chance. I mean, we're going to collect from all the institutions today, but if you haven't brought, you can still bring it when
bring
you come
it there.
To the mall.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a big menorah, and whatever cans that we don't use for the menorah is going to be set in place right in front of the menorah. So all the cans that was collected is going to be right there, right after the event, the unemployment center is going to be waiting for us. They're going to be taking all the cans right away so that Friday they can distribute it the first thing to families that are in need. So we're literally lighting up a life. And if you haven't brought in cans, bring it in. If you haven't brought, if you can't bring in cans, you can bring donations to help us cover the cost for the cans that we have already bought, you know, big cans that we needed that we didn't get. So it's going to be a beautiful event Monday at 4 o'clock.
Devonshire Mall.
Devonshire Mall on the side of the food court. Yeah, I mean, you'll hear the music playing. There's a, we have a couple of students that are going to be playing electric guitar and singing some songs. There's going to be hot latkes and donuts and crafts for the kids. The kids are going to be able to make their own wooden dreidel. And there's going to be some sand crafts for the kids. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's
so I'm looking forward to seeing everyone.
That's great. So please be there. Rabbi, thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you. You should have a happy Hanukkah full of light.
Same to you and same to all our listeners.
All right, for sure.
Good. So we'll see you at the mall Monday.
God willing.
Thank you.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.